This is Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. We're waiting for the announcement regarding the final vote from Major League Baseball. That is going to be carried, I believe, on ESPN. We're going to take you live to that announcement when it does occur. We also have an answer to Dave's question about how onions ended up on his Whopper when he explicitly ordered the Whopper with no onions. And that comes from the 206. Dave, you got onions because pot is legal here, and all the kids in service industries like that come to work high on the Mary Jane these days.
He didn't look high to me.
Eminently reasonable. Did he look spiteful? Did he look like
he was spiteful? Like, because I said it twice, I think, because he talked over me. He's like, cash or credit card? And I'm like, did you get the onions? And he's like, cash or credit card? And I wanted to grab him and say, listen, Sonny, you just make sure there's no onions on that thing. And he put onions on there. Didn't catch it till we were driving away. Sonny boy. By the way, I know people have been waiting for this longer, or probably sitting on the edge of their seats, more so for this than...
Are you going to get to the Clue characters?
Or Gene Segura. Yeah.
Yeah.
Being the All-Star. Mrs. Peacock.
Yes.
Mrs. White.
Mrs. White is the one I would not have gotten. She is an elderly, older lady. What's that?
She a maid?
Well, I think she's a chef. In
the
picture I have, she's holding a rolling pin, although that's not one of the weapons. Mrs. Scarlet, and then Professor Plum. Jim, you got Mr. Green and Colonel Mustard.
There's also some Mr. Body, B-O-D-D-Y. That might be on a more updated game.
Yeah, I'm going old school, like 70s. There's also rope, wrench, pretty morbid, candlestick.
Dagger.
Yeah, they got a knife and a gun.
How about the rooms? There was the conservatory.
Conservatory. Mm.
Living room, study.
There was a hallway.
Is there a library?
Yes, yeah, there was also a library that was there. The dining room, the ballroom, the kitchen. Yeah, billiard room.
Billiard
room, that's right.
I think the billiard room is where I usually thought it would happen, although the conservatory always had a nice ring to it. The hall was always a weird one. How would that happen in a hall?
I don't remember the hall being one of the rooms where you could
trying to think if I've ever
kill
gotten
somebody
in Clue. In a fight in a hallway.
Yeah. It'd be a difficult
Me and my brother.
Place. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My brother he used to brush his teeth, and then he would take his toothbrush and then flick it at me, you know, like he would rub the bristles back so it would spray all of his mouth water, whatever crap on his toothbrush on my face. And we got in a fight one time and broke a door.
So you've had so many fights in your life that you had to stop for a second to think of whether you had one in the hallway.
I haven't had that
not.
Many fights.
Well, how many?
I don't. 10?
10?
Maybe. 8 to 10?
Really?
Jim, trouble finds me. I promised my wife a long time ago that I wouldn't do that. It was on a New Year's Eve, and it was probably in the last 15 years, and there was some yelling and screaming, and it wasn't even at me, but I was mad because he was yelling at our taxi cab. And then it was in the lobby. Is lobby on there?
No, there's no lobby on there.
There's a lobby of a hotel.
Dave Wyman Clue game.
Mr. Wyman in the hotel lobby with whatever was available.
It was a two-hand shiver is what I gave him.
What's your record in the 10 fights, you think?
Well,
I think you're 10-0, 9-1.
Undefeated, untied.
Depends on some of them. One time it was fairly serious with Gary Zimmerman, an all-pro tackle for the
You guys
Broncos.
Were roommates.
Yeah, we were. But it was one of those drunken things where it got a little bit too serious. Yeah, but anyway, lobby. Guy either came to like hit me or shove me or something like that, and I kind of ducked it and then gave him the two-hand shiver, and then he went back and he knocked over like five people, like bowling pins. There's people laying there going, oh, I'm like, oh, jeez. So then the cops came, and this little guy came up, and this never happens to me, but he came up and he's like, hey, you're Dave Wyman, right? Yeah, I followed your career. He goes, hey, I saw the whole thing. That guy totally started it. He hit you first, or tried to hit you. I was like, oh, cool. Can you stay around until the cops get here? And sure enough. So, yeah, and then we just walked up. And my wife and I don't tell each other what to do, but I was on a streak where there was like four or five over maybe, you know, 6 or 7 years. And she's like, you can't do that anymore. I'm like, okay. I listened like my mom or dad was telling me. I'm like, okay. Try not to do that.
You were on this torrid streak there of getting in fights.
Yeah, I don't like taking crap from people. And, you know, sometimes you got to, Like the guy who came out to Edgar's and, oh, I text in, I don't like you, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't have to take your crap, okay? So anyway, yeah, it's but that part died, okay? That part's all gone.
Yeah, the rest in peace, Angry Dave. He's now a Clue character that we'll have there.
Yeah. I'd like to be Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
Would that be your favorite?
Has ferocious mutton chops. I like the facial hair that he's often adorned
10
with.
10 fights.
There.
That's impressive. I've only had one. Well, two, if you count the guy that hit me at the Whistle Stop Tavern in Renton. That was a short fight. It was a knockout.
Was that?
Yeah, that was when he knocked me out through the door onto the sidewalk. It was like a Western movie scene or something.
Yeah,
and I had it coming.
Did it have the swinging doors where you went?
No, it was just a regular door, but I remember going through it and ended up on the sidewalk. And I still have a scar from that because I had to go get stitches from it. The guy, yeah, he landed a good blow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other time was just in junior high out we met outside of Audubon Elementary over there, Westlake Sammamish area, and yeah, we just got in a fight there, but that's it.
First fight was Steve Misquiz, Anna McKinney Junior High School parking lot after the final dance, and the kid been picking on me the whole year. So when Jake and I drove up from California after he graduated, we stopped off in Marysville, and we went to the Anna McKinney parking lot, and Jake took a picture of me raising my hand like the champ. Because I used to get picked on all the time. I was small, and I was always afraid to fight and everything. And then the Steve Misquiz thing happened, and then I wasn't anymore.
Is what they say true? Like, once you stood up to him, did he stop bothering you?
My dad told me that, and I'm like, the old man's full of it. That, you know, he's like, all I got to do is punch him in the nose. And my mom's over there going, no, you have to talk through it, and maybe you can have a conversation with him. And my dad's like, nope, punch him in the nose. So I punched him in the face, And then like the next day at school, he literally came up to me and said, hey, I'm sorry I was messing around with you. And I was like, one of those dawning moments, like, my dad was right. You got to be kidding me. Yeah. So, yeah, that's and look, I'm not advocating fighting, but like there's some times where you do have to hit a bully in the face. Right. And sometimes figuratively.
Yeah.
But sometimes literally.
And sometimes it is Steve Misquiz that has to get it in the chops. It was Anna McKeever.
Anna McKinney.
Anna McKinney.
Junior high.
Junior high there in Reno, Nevada.
How did this happen?
It was actually in California, Marysville, California.
Oh, really? You hadn't moved?
Yeah.
It was over there by Yuba City.
You know who's a Yuba City honker?
Chris Peterson.
Chris Peterson.
That's exactly right.
Are we going to Husky football now or no?
No, I think we're going to go to the Mariners.
Yeah.
It is Danny David Moore here. 5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. We're waiting to find out if Gene Segura is chosen for the All-Star game as the Mariners' entrant in the final vote, and he would be the fourth member of the team to go. We already have Mitch Haniger, who we talked to, as well as Edwin Diaz, who will be making their first All-Star appearances. Nelson Cruz was also selected. The Mariners have hit a little bit of a skid. They've lost 4 of 6, and I always think of the baseball season. You've got the ebbs and flows, and they've got a little bit of a downturn right now in their offense, and that's not altogether surprising, and I'm not sure how concerned we should be because this is a team that is missing its best hitter. They do miss Robinson Cano. Like, you look at overall what's happened in his absence, their run scoring has gone down, and I think the temptation was to look at it and said, hey, the Robinson Cano absence hasn't hurt them at all. It hasn't hurt them, but they've missed him. The reason that they've won is because they've gotten exceptional starting pitching, and I don't know if you can expect Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez to be as good as they were in June through the rest of the season. I don't know if you can just take that month and say, hey, this is the new normal for them. They've pitched
same for
really
LeBlanc,
well.
Really.
And LeBlanc is in there as well. Like that sort of, that they're going to have some ups and downs simply because they are not dominant. Gonzalez has a better strikeout ratio than the other two, but those other two pitchers are guys that are going to give up hits. The balls are going to be put in play against them. They're not strikeout pitchers. And because of that, I think you're going to have more variation. There are going to be games like last night with Mike Leake when they get hit.
Yeah, and then you got to have some offense, like you said, Danny. And they got it out of Mitch Haniger, the All-Star, but then that was pretty much it. Look, you know, you look at Robinson Cano in 39 games, 23 RBIs. You know, and he's batting .287. When he left, and his on-base percentage .385. So, I mean, look, that's somebody who can definitely give that to you. And I figure, you know, ultimately, who does he sort of replace? Because if he goes back to second, you're going to put D. Gordon out probably in center field, probably displaces Heredia, somebody like that, you know, or maybe he platoons at first base if Ryan Healy is having a little bit of difficulty and a struggle, but he's really, you know, 18 home runs. So when you got there,
somebody texted in, you know, I gave you the character of, I was like, oh, apparently there's a Mr. Body on Clue. Well, it's the dead body. Oh. Mr. Body, first name dead.
I thought when you said Mr. Body, it was with two D's.
Yeah, it was spelled that way, but I think it's a play on words that came in there. I didn't even put that together. That I was talking about the cadaverous fella that's a starring role in there.
Can I just read the 425? He says, Dave, I'm 50. I'm 38-3 is my record. You're only one dumbass away from being back in action. No, 425. We're not doing that.
I would like to see that.
38-3.
Like, for you, I'm coming out of retirement.
He's been in 41 fights?
That's an awful lot. I don't know.
If that many fights, you usually don't live.
Either that or you stop.
He's 50.
You lose count of it that's there. Are you concerned about the Mariners?
Well, a little bit, because when you talk about the rotation and even Paxton, because Paxton is, and I love the kid, but so he's the ace of the staff. We all acknowledge that. But he hasn't really, I guess maybe my expectations are too high for him, because I go back to the 16 strikeout game he had, the no-hitter in Toronto, and I'm going, okay, you're going to get that every time. But, I mean, that game where he gave up four runs the other day and the eighth or ninth place hitter there for the Rockies, maybe that was just a fluky deal. But Paxton has, he's been really good and great at times, but you can count on him. You know you're going to get a good performance. I guess I just, like I say, I have the bar set a little too high for him, perhaps. The other guys, it's kind of a mishmash of what you're going to get, because I think as we get later in the season, too, we talked about it earlier, the innings piling up for Gonzalez, Paxton to a degree, too, because he's had injuries, and he's going to start getting to a point where he's pitched more innings than he has ever. And, so LeBlanc, all these guys, maybe they'll hold up. But I tend to think that you're right about the runs that the Mariners are scoring, that you're going to be more in 6-5, 5-4 games, 7-4 type games. And so you're going to need that offense to come around a little more than they have of late.
The one thing, when you look at their team and how it's performed and that need to get more runs, the other thing, I've been really pleased with Paxton. And maybe we haven't talked about this enough. He's made every start. That's the big uncertainty about him, was how durable he was going to be. And he had the one game where he had the muscle cramp and was able to end up going through it. He's made every start. I believe he's taken that next step that we all hoped for. And he could be a little more consistent. But when you consider that he's made it through the entire first half and change now, healthy, and he's consistently been able to do it. It was a bummer when he gave up the 3-run homer to the number 9 hitter. When it was on a pitch that he left, he told Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times that he knew when the pitch left his hand that it was trouble, and a guy that had hit one home run all season ended up hitting a 3-run homer out of there. But I felt that every time that Paxton goes out there, that you feel like you have an advantage. Like, you feel like your team has the better pitcher on there. And while the results haven't always panned out, I believe that he's taken that step. I would constitute this season so far as a huge step forward for James Paxton.
What's the deal with the All-Star pitchers? Have they already been voted in? But there's a chance.
There'll be some replacements for pitchers who can't pitch. For instance, Verlander, who I think has been the best pitcher in the American League. I think if you were going to give out a Cy Young right now, go to him, although you're starting to hear more inclusion for Edwin Diaz in there.
How about Blake Snell, who didn't even go to the All-Star game?
And Snell,
2-1-3 ERA.
Yeah, Snell's probably the first guy up. With Verlander, who's scheduled to pitch the 15th, right, he's not going to be available. I would guess that it's going to be Blake Snell that's selected. If there's another guy that's not eligible to pitch, you might see Paxton then chosen.
Well, that would be really cool to see, because he deserves it. 8-3, 3.49 ERA. And the other thing, too, is I think you're right, Danny. He's taking that next step. I'm loving seeing that he's able to stay healthy. Sometimes that's just bad luck. And it's not like, because remember at one point, wasn't it a fingernail for him and blisters and things like that? So, and then I can't remember. There were some goofy ways that he got hit, just like normal pitchers, right? They always get hurt in some goofy way. It's never some huge collision or anything like that. But, yeah, they're little things. He's been able to avoid that stuff. The other thing is he's been able to work himself out of jams that he's put himself in. But I just think that right there shows, can you imagine being a pitcher and having nobody out and bases loaded or a guy on first and second, you'd have to be very disciplined to not pitch your game because, you know, knowing like I can't make a mistake here. And with all of that going on in his mind and being able to work his way out of those kinds of jams, I think is the one thing that we've seen that's different about him and that indicates that he's turned the corner.
Yeah, he's. I was probably a little too harsh on Paxton because he's not going to be sensational every time out. And the start, the two starts before that against Kansas City and Baltimore, he was really solid. So yeah, it's been good to see him be durable this year. And you'd like to think that it's going to continue with him through the rest of the year. The other guys with Marco Gonzalez. Now we'll see how he does tonight because his last start. It was really fun to watch him, and we talked to him about it, where he didn't have his best stuff, and he was still able to negotiate through that lineup of the Angels and the Mariners winning 4-1. And he's been pretty effective against the Angels. Their last two starts, anyway, overall, he's only given up one run in each start. So you really like what you're seeing from him. But I'm with you on that. The rotation as a whole, as good as it's been, I mean, they're going to be these rough stretches with Leake. We're going to see that from time to time, certainly with Felix and maybe even with LeBlanc.
I love the way Marco Gonzalez approaches the game. We've had the opportunity. We talked to him on Friday out at Safeco, and I think that was the first time we've had him in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we talked to him on the phone one time.
We have. He is the exact type of personality where if I was in charge of a team, like that's the kind of personality that I think that you would absolutely gravitate toward and want on your team. He seems so squared away. Even when in that moment when he was talking about sort of his thought or belief or suspicion that the Red Sox might have been stealing signs, like there was an edge to him. There's confidence there. Like he's a confident player. We are going to go. They are announcing the votes here. We'll find out if the Mariners
are going to the Midsummer Classic. We have the results, and it is Jesus Aguilar. Fans in Seattle are fired up. Fans in Milwaukee so excited because the NL's top home run guy is going to D.C. for the All-Star game. Gene Segura, another shortstop at a very deep position, is going to the All-Star game. And Gene Segura, and Jesus Aguilar, at the age of 28, Al.
He's wildly popular.
You like that?
I mean, he's got Sammy Sosa kissing the...
20.2 million votes is what this guy received.
Wow.
What about Segura? Let's get the Segura. Come on, guys. Get the Segura. We don't care about the Milwaukee guy.
Adds to the stardom of Jesus Aguilar. As for Gene Segura, second time he's ever been an all-star. He's become one of the most consistent performers that we've seen at that position.
Well, you're talking about fan base. It's the first time a Mariner's ever won this.
Right.
They called up Bill Gates and said, let's get that Microsoft thing working. So they got it going on out there in Seattle. Hey, I love also what he talked about with Aguilar. Same thing with Gene, the hit machine. He will go left field, right field, all over the diamond. You don't get 200 hits a season if they can shift on you and you hit the ball the same place every time. He is so consistent with his swing. I love his approach, back up the middle. I'll go with wherever that pitch is thrown. He does a great job of that, but you got to defend it short. And I saw this play the other night, and it's just pretty.
Wow.
It's just pretty. I had to bring it back. And then this play right here, nice diving catch. First step is terrific, but he can do all kinds of things. And I think when you look at the All-Star game, Greg, you've been talking about this a lot, that shortstop position is so deep. There's no Correa, obviously, going to the All-Star game. You start thinking about... You got Xander Bogaerts, Lindor, Correa, this guy right here. I mean, it goes deeper and deeper, and I'm probably leaving guys out as I'm talking about this. But he can also play different positions. So in the final vote, he also is probably going to end up playing some different spots in the All-Star game. But well-deserved. Nice job, Seattle. But
there we go. Harold Reynolds giving a shout-out to his former hometown. And, Jim, they listened to you.
They did.
Told him
good,
to get
good timing.
Yeah, it was. We will have more about Gene Segura, his second selection as an All-Star. He was also named to the All-Star team in 2013, but he's won the final vote. Congratulations, Seattle. We'll explain more next.
Congratulations, Mariners fans. You did it. You got Gene Segura to the All-Star game. Right now he's down on the field just taking some grounders over at shortstop. He found out earlier today, found out on the ride in, and 1 o'clock went by when the voting was over, and he thought he didn't get it. He thought that was it because he didn't hear anything. Then Jerry DePoto gave him a call, and he got the news on the bus, and everybody very happy for Gene. He is hugely appreciative of the effort to get him to the All-Star game. We'll hear from him quite a bit on the pregame show. Lineup for tonight, Gordon Gordon, Segura, Haniger, Cruz, Seager, Healy, Gamble, Heredia, and Freitas. We do have a starter for tomorrow, and it will be James Paxton. Pre-game show comes your way in 30 minutes. I'm Shannon Dreyer.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi, Jim.
Do you have a second?
I guess. For you, yes.
All right. Well, thank you. So can you convey even more of the excitement about this selection? I guess it says a lot about the Mariners organization and then having the players involved. It was really cool how it all came together.
It really was. And, you know, he was kind of blown away that the entire organization made the effort, from the marketing department to his teammates. He couldn't believe what Felix did yesterday, standing out on the street in front of Safeco with the signs, with his son trying to get votes for him. He kind of laughed and said, I'm not sure any of us have any equipment left, because they've all given away their batting gloves and their bats and everything for the effort. So this is going to be a big one for him. He takes a lot of pride in his game, and he said it really hurt when he didn't make it the first time, and he's feeling the love right now.
Well, he's sure been good, and, you know, ever since Robbie left with the suspension, there was some thought that maybe with Cano gone that there'd be a drop-off in Segura's game, but we've seen anything but that.
He found the opportunity to step up, and he kind of stepped out of the shadows a little bit. And, you know, he's a good player. This is, you know, he made the All-Star game when he was just 23. He's got the batting title. He's had the most hits in the National League for a year. He had the most stolen bases 1 year, and now he's up at the top again. And I think people kind of write it off every time he does something good, as it's a one-time only thing. He's a darn good player, and he wanted to be acknowledged for it. You know, he desperately wanted to be acknowledged for it. It really meant something to him. And I think that when he sits back and when he, you know, looks at how he ended up getting there, it's going to mean even more to him, because ever since he signed that contract, he's really taken ownership in the Mariners and the area. So, you know, Robbie or no Robbie, I think that he believes that he can make a mark here, and he takes pride in that.
Well, Shannon, thanks for your time. We'll look forward to listening to you on the pregame show at 6 o'clock.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's been lovely talking to you.
Likewise.
Mariners Insider, presented by Mazda of Everett. All things Mariners, always on at 710sports.com.
Listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
We did it, Jim!
I think Dave and I, our votes were the ones that pushed it over the top.
We did it! Gene Segura is going to D.C.!
How much do you think it was this campaign to get him there and people looking at his batting average? I would prefer it was the latter.
95% it is the way Seattle mobilized in support.
Yeah. I mean, then that's great. And I think it indicates that fans here are buying in. And, you know, we're actually getting texts from the 425 here about how we're being too negative and stuff, and that we've heard that crap for 17 years. But, look, I think that it's indicative of that, but he deserved to go. I'm sorry. Like Dee Gordon was yelling in the background yesterday during that interview that I think Shannon Dreyer was doing with Segura. Nobody who hits 330 doesn't get into the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and so you see he's third in average and second hits, 47 runs batted in. But two things I was wondering about. I hope that we see the vote totals, because it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? I mean, do you think it's in the millions for Segura?
Yes. I think he's got upward of 15 million votes.
That many. So, and then I'd like to see what the difference is to the second place guy, too. The other thing I was wondering about, and we need someone out there, Coors Light text line, someone that can check out Gene Segura's contract. I'd be curious to know that if there's an incentive in there for making the All-Star team. Let's say if it's, I mentioned it in the email to you guys this morning, let's say it's $100,000 for making the All-Star game. If you're Gene Segura, shouldn't you throw a party for the fans? Just take all $100,000 and just do a Soto Mojo party down there by Safeco Field and invite all of the fans, because they're the ones who are responsible for this, having him go to the All-Star
game. Well, I know one person he should not invite, and that's you.
Well, no, and yeah, I shouldn't be invited. You're right. No, I don't deserve that.
You didn't vote for him.
Yeah, I know.
As a matter of fact, you expressed...
But I didn't vote for anybody else either.
That's true. You did not stand in his way of there. It's something... This is not some sort of cosmic justice sort of case. Making the All-Star game, not making the All-Star game. In the end, I don't know how big a difference that's going to be. He did deserve to be there as someone that was hitting 330. He also plays at an incredibly stacked position where I don't think that anybody would have felt that, hey, this is one of the most unfair things that I've seen happen. And at the end, it is an exhibition game. It's not going to determine the course of their season. At the same time, this is something that I think people in Seattle can feel really good about for a couple of different reasons. The first is, it matters to Jean Segura. And to be recognized and to have a guy who decided to sign a contract who had bounced around. You remember, this is his fourth franchise he's been with. He's a really good player. And he's bounced around. He was traded from the Angels to the Brewers, traded from the Brewers to the Diamondbacks, and then up here to Seattle. And he's found a place that he really fits in. And he's got a place that he has really been productive and helped them be, in my mind, the Mariners are the biggest surprise in baseball through the first half of the season. He gets recognized for that. The second thing that I think is people can feel really good about is the interest in this team. Like that is not something that is, hey, we hope people get behind them. Hey, when are people going to come around? When are they going to stop feeling? People are invested and involved with a new batch of players here that's not any of the old stars. And at a time we're turning the page on the Seattle Seahawks and wondering what's going to happen after the Legion of Boom, people here are really excited about this baseball team. And this team seems capable of capitalizing it, not only in the way they're playing, but the way they're marketing it. And I think it's something that everybody can be excited and feel good about.
Mariners did a great job, too, their PR department getting on this. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're starting to see a lot more at the ballpark, a lot more people. And then, you know, just very deserving of Jean Segura. He's third in all of baseball with batting averages at .329, tied with J.D. Martinez behind Jose Altuve and Mookie Betts. And pretty awesome for him. We talked about this yesterday, and you just alluded to it, Danny, that the way his career was going, it could have spiraled out of control. It could have gone down the tubes. I mean, he went through a lot of stuff. He was in Milwaukee. He gets hit in the face with a bat. We talked about it yesterday. Loses an infant child and kind of reaches out to Robinson Cano, who takes him under his wing and gets him going. Now here he is, and he's got to feel like, man, this is a nice family I got here, and these teammates, they're all wearing his T-shirt yesterday, so really cool to see this come about. But I think also a lot of Seattle Mariner fans can take pride in that, you know, they kind of made this happen.
Well, and Danny mentioned it yesterday, too, about that it's almost better now that it's over and that he made it to the All-Star game that it happened this way. Because he found out how much people care.
Yeah,
not only the fans, but his teammates. And the 253 is saying that they only released the winners, the votes, and he got 13.6 million votes, Jean Segura.
13.6 million reasons to put him in Washington, D.C. Do you know who that reference is, Jim?
Yeah, it's from, Dr. Zhivago.
Did not spend 12 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. Evil.
Braveheart.
Winters in Rangoon. Luge lessons.
Goodwill Hunting.
We're going to find out what we learned next.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
It's time to find out what we learned, brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. See, Raj, what did we learn? We learned that James Paxton's going to start tomorrow in place of Felix Hernandez.
We did learn that.
We learned that Jean Segura is going to be in the All-Star game thanks to winning the final vote with 13.6 million votes, half of which were provided by Lydia Cruz.
When was the last time the Mariners had four All-Stars?
They had three the year Brandon League went.
No, I never know my
text questions. It in. 710-710.
They had eight in 2001, which is still a record.
Yeah, they had a ton that year. I believe Daniel Wilson even ended up there that year.
Mike Cameron, he made the All-Star team that year.
Yes, he did.
Jeff Nelson.
His kids went to my school. My kids' school.
He's a basketball official.
That's right.
He would ref basketball games.
Heck of a curveball.
What else we learn?
We learned right off the top today about Darlene's All-Star voting plan.
Here's what I do. I put on the television show that I normally watch on MSNBC so I can keep up with the idiot in the White House. And then I just listen to that, and I put on the Vote Segura thing. And it's so neat because you hit the repeat button. But I would listen 2 hours at a time, and then my finger would be tired, so I'd go do something else.
Now, see, don't you feel like a little bit like a Grinch, don't you? Like your heart's two sizes too small.
Here you are, like, I don't have time because I'm out on the trails hiking around with River. I can't be bothered to vote to send Segura. And
no,
in fact, everybody should only have one vote.
That wasn't a very nice imitation, especially because you were a really good sport today.
How's that?
You took one for the team. You played the role of the grumpy old man.
No,
oh, that's not a role.
Yeah, it's
there's no acting involved.
Yeah, there's not. I'm glad Segura made it.
The last time the Mariners had four All-Stars, 2014.
What?
Felix Hernandez, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, and Pantscaker.
No, that's right. Fernando, I forgot about that. Did he get in? He got in that game and threw a couple pitches?
Yes, and Pants remained uncaked.
Where is the Pants Caker now?
Still Minnesota? In San Diego?
Oh, he's yeah, he's with the Twins.
I think he's their closer.
Yeah, he's a big name on the trade market right now.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, pass on that.
We also learned today that Jim hates one specific part about airport security.
It bothers me taking my shoes off still. I can't stand that.
I always think
of that goof that's the reason that caused everyone to have to do that. Do you remember when you leave to go to the airport not to tie your shoelaces?
No, I don't. But that part doesn't bother me.
Before you leave your house,
yeah,
you're like, going to have to take my shoes off. Yeah. Why bother tying them?
Jim, it takes 5 seconds to untie them and tie them back.
And then it always seems like...
Oh, man, I tied my shoes!
Seems like I'm always the guy
that... My entire day is ruined!
I'm always the guy that goes, oh, excuse me, sir, we got to take the wand to you. And, you know, half the time I'm just wearing a T-shirt and shorts and nothing else. I'm like, go ahead, wand away, see what you can find.
I think Jim actually likes
know,
it.
And then let's,
Jim likes being wanded.
Yeah. I got to admit, at 61, I was never that flexible anyway. But as you get older and a little fatter, I look down at my toes and I've got my sock, you know, in my hands and I'm going, okay, here I come. I'm going to try and get down there and reach down to my toes.
Didn't you, this was a solved problem. Didn't you get a Christmas gift?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you get a Christmas gift to handle this
I know
this
you're
very
looking
thing?
For that stupid promo thing. Yeah.
Didn't we have this,
yeah,
this problem?
Yeah, I didn't want any part of that, though. I'd rather struggle with it every day than have some gizmo help me out.
What is it called? The sock putter on her?
Yeah.
It's something like that.
You struggle. You're so far away. Just bending over to put on your socks is brutally painful every day. Well, not anymore. Introducing Sock Slider, the pain-free, no-bend-over way to
shut
comfortably
that guy
put
up.
On
I
your socks every day.
Turn that off. I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe it's 70. Maybe it's 70. I'll be over in Spokane going, all right, where's that Sock Slider?
You just prefer to remain with shoes untied on days where you have the airport. Jim, tie your shoes. No, I'm going to the airport.
I'm not the only one who does that.
Yeah, you are.
No.
There's no one else that's like, I got this great way to save time. On days you're going to go to the airport, don't tie your shoes.
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Yeah, really, Dave.
How about slip-ons? You ever think about
them? I got
those?
These on right now. These crimson-colored things.
Those are crimson-colored.
Yeah, pretty nice. It's kind of a struggle to do them, put them on, too, but... Got it.
I think my favorite memory, when I lived in Bristol, when I worked at ESPN, I went and visited one of my friends in New York. It's my favorite New York memory. We were trying to return a bunch of bottles from a party we had the night before, and we're standing in this grocery store line, and I've got two relatively heavy bags. My hands are full, and my shoes untied, and this woman comes in. She goes, you better stop and tie your shoes. I'm like, I'm okay, man. You're going to fall and bust your head. Like, really, I'm doing okay. You're not going to be all right with a busted head. I always thought it was funny, like, that there would be a medical diagnosis. We got somebody coming in with a busted head. She's just looking out
Where
for
was
me,
this?
Though. It was in New York.
Okay, so that's your New York woman accent?
It's an old bat from New York.
Old bat. Somebody got called that on the text line today.
It's the equivalent of the old codger. Because the old bat is not quite as, like, there's codgers and there's coots on the male side. And then there's a bat, maybe a biddy. I'm not sure. Who would be the other?
Yeah, for the female version, you're saying?
Female version.
Yeah, I think it
codger.
Probably goes biddy, and then bat is the same as old coot.
What about
coot?
A hen?
A hen? Yeah. I could see hen.
When they're young and attractive, she's a bird.
She's a bird.
Yeah, so everything has to do with flying animals, whereas with men, it's codger, coot. What was before codger?
I don't know if we have one before
getting on,
codger.
Middle-aged.
Not tying your shoes
curmudgeon.
On days you have to go to the airport. That's what comes before a codger.
No, comes after coot.
206 says I need yoga. Maybe yeah. I do. I think I do need yoga.
Well, we want to thank Mitch Haniger. We also want to thank John Clayton for joining us. We want to thank all of you for listening. Curtis Rogers, he was our producer today. And Matt Harden back on the board. had a blast today. And let's see if the Mariners can go out and get one tonight, put themselves in position to win the series tomorrow. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 on Danny, Dave, and More.